Welcome back to Just These Guys. Here we go.
Hit my.
Another week, another episode in the podcast. We got Mike in the house. We got Lance. We got the pastor. And we got the shrink. And
yes,
this week, Mike is bringing it with six powerful lessons of love and humility from the Last Supper.
It is Holy Week.
It is.
And so why not talk a little bit about Jesus?
Boom.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just an age thing. I suspect it's probably not. But each Easter seems to be more and more significant on a very personal level.
Sure.
I don't know whether that has to do with, again, AIDS, whether that has to do with maybe a little more wisdom.
I was going to say, I think it probably has to do with a growing and deeper understanding of what this season represents,
mm-hmm.
understanding exactly what happened and why it happened, and thus the importance, the just incredible sheer miracle of
mm-hmm.
Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross, and then 3 days later, the tomb is empty.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not necessarily the case for everybody. This Easter isn't more significant than the last Easter.
Right, but I think growing up, we're focused on the Easter bunny and the eggs, and and church is something you got to suffer through. You know, put on your best shirt, comb your hair,
yeah,
and go in there and do your annual visit to the church. And as you grow older and you begin to learn what this stuff is all about, and learning is not just reading the book and knowing the details, the dates, the facts,
right?
But as you were mentioning before the show, one of the great things about the four fundamentals is it helps us empower our own thinking so that we can actually think critically and understand how information in our world relates to us and how the world, how we are kind of fixed in this world, where we stand, our boundaries. And once you kind of get within your own skin, within your own boundaries, here in the present moment, figure out a way to put the past in the past and live for the future, at that point, then things begin to look differently.
Yeah, they look differently. And it's not just a different look, it's a clearer look.
Mm-hmm.
It unmuddies your mind.
Sure.
It creates for you this peace of mind that then allows you to have that new perspective that is, again, kind of going back to the saying that we don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are.
And too many people feel they must live in the past.
Sure.
That if they have a memory, that for some reason they must replay that memory in their brain, retorture themselves, and their alternative is to try not to think about the memory, but they feel victimized again and again and again. And anything that reminds them of that memory, they feel victimized by the reminder.
Yeah.
And that externalizes everything. They start blaming everybody else for everything. They blame their past. They blame other people. They can't trust the world. They can't trust what people say. And it's just this continual torture chamber they live in. And learning how to get control of that thinking so that you can then get control of your past, your present, the direction your life is going. Once you begin to realize you have 100% control over what you think and do and feel, then you get to decide not only what to do with your time, what to think about, how to think about it, but then how to understand stuff. And so once you kind of get that in place, then the question rises up, okay, I just spent the last 40 years wasting it on that, but I'm still here on earth. Why am I here? And now you can turn to the Bible and start to have an understanding of what the whole plan is, the plan for you and the plan beyond yourself. And so, you know, I think it's just phenomenal that shows like The Chosen and, you know, AD and the Bible and the Gospel of John, they've all come out in, you know, the last 10 years, and they just bring such a deeper, richer understanding to the scripture that it really helps you begin to understand what is actually going on. And so it makes perfect sense that even as a pastor for you, that each year that this season comes around, you develop a deeper and deeper understanding and meaning behind the season.
Yeah. Well, I think the further you get down the road when it comes to studying who God is and developing that personal relationship with Him through Christ, kind of comes always back around to the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So there's so much to learn. There's always that out in front of you, there's that opportunity to go deeper, to get a richer experience in Christ. And so it's interesting that it always, with Jesus, boiled down to, if you're going to try to figure this whole thing out and you want to overcomplicate it, that's fine. But if you want to figure this out and kind of use the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, then simply do this. Love. People want to have a a break from love. I don't know if it's just me or anytime we challenge people to listen, all you got to do is love. Just love.
Sure.
And if you're going to love, you can't separate. You can't say you love someone and not actually do it. Well, right. I mean, you can say it, but
right.
Saying it, knowing it is different than doing it.
Sure.
So putting it into practice is what Jesus was always modeling for us. It's incredible to consider that. Okay, so we're talking about the Holy Week on Thursday. Of the Holy Week, Jesus had the Passover meal with the disciples.
Right,
they were in an upper room. They're, and this is according to the Gospel of John. This is his account, and they're sitting there at the table, and Jesus is looking around, and he has to be thinking to himself, you know, I think they get it, but I'm just going to have to hit them one more time with something here. And so what he does is he gets up from the table. Now, think about this. The same God who put the stars in the sky is about to stand up from the table, and he takes his outer garment off, he wraps himself in a towel, and he goes around and he washes the feet of the disciples. He stoops down below their level because of their response, and he washes their feet.
In my understanding, to just try to help the audience realize the impact of this, is back in the day, I mean, you're walking around in the dirt, the street, the cow dung, the horse dung, and so your feet were just nasty.
Yep.
And in society at the time, people kind of, it wasn't necessarily a caste system, but people had their place in society.
Oh yeah.
And the, you know, the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of servants.
Yep.
You know, like the new guy on the job. he got the worst job in the house, which was
washing the feet.
Wash the feet of the guests.
Yep.
And to serve, a servant washed people's feet, and the lowest of servants is the one who got the job of washing people's feet when they came in the house. And so for Jesus in that era in society at that time to stand up and to go don the role of the lowest of servants to people who've been worshiping him, following him for 3 years, was a shocking moment.
Yeah. Jesus had sent a couple of the disciples ahead to reserve the room. And so when they reserved the room, and they obviously had kind of set up the food, the bread and the fish, but the one thing that they had forgotten was to hire a servant to wash the feet. And so they're sitting around with the nasty feet around the table. And the way they recline at the table, you know, back then was on the floor with one person's head close to the next person's feet. And so it all made sense. And so Jesus gets up and he starts to do something that, if we are just honest, we all would struggle to do this.
Sure.
To take on, in that moment, to take on the lowest of roles and simply express love by, it says in the book of John that Jesus loved the disciples and he loved them to the end. And so this was an act of him loving them to the end right before he goes to the cross. But what I've got to share is I've got six powerful lessons on love and humility from this example.
Sure.
And so this is just something for all of us to in a reflective kind of a mode, in a not only a reflective, but in a how am I going to move forward with this? Really be mindful of how we approach every day our relationships with others. And are we actually taking on, are we trying to get more out of it than we are giving? Are we willing to serve more than we are receiving? You know, Jesus said that he came here not to be served, but to serve.
Sure.
And so the first lesson is this. If we want to follow the example of Jesus, which that's really, truly what it is about for me, and if I'm calling myself a Christ follower, at first it starts with, number one, be willing to get up from the table. I like what this says. It says, acts of service require that we get up from the table. Service begins with a willingness to stop what we may be doing in order to serve others. Selfishness is a default setting in our human brains. Mm-hmm. That's where we naturally go. We have to be intentional about serving others, about putting others' needs first. And by the way, what it's saying there is being willing to be interrupted. And so that's something that I have battled with for a long time is that, listen, I got this plan. I am going to get this done. And then miss the opportunity to really find the blessing. The blessing is not in the person who is serving others. And it's not even necessarily in the person who is being served. It's in the blessing of the service. It's in between. Both are blessed.
Right.
And so are we willing to be interrupted? Are we willing to get up from the table, when we have that little nudge, when we see somebody who's in need, and it can be something super simple. You use the example a lot of times of carrying a box towards a door and asking somebody, would you mind opening the door for me?
Right,
and then,
right.
Then you just give them all the control of that situation if you allow their response to affect you.
Sure.
But you can hold on to that. But being mindful of somebody else in need is they wouldn't even have to ask us.
Exactly. And you know, you get up from the table. Well, literally this Easter weekend, you're going to have an Easter dinner.
Yep.
When you're done eating, get up.
Yep.
Don't just push your plate back and sit there and wait for somebody else to come clear your... You get up, you clear the table, you wash the dishes.
Yeah.
So literally get up from the table. And I think it's, you know, look for opportunities to be of service, whether it's opening the door for somebody or taking somebody's cart in the parking lot after they've unloaded their groceries. Any, you know, time, just be aware of the needs around you, yep, even the smallest of needs.
Yep. Be hyper aware. Go into it expecting that there's going to be someone with a need and then walk right into it. And be willing to get up from the table. Number two is this. Go low. Go low. Here's what it says. Jesus didn't set a limit on the type of task he was willing to do to show love and service. Even though he set the stars in place, he stooped low to wash his disciples' feet. And the question is, are we willing to go low? Are we willing to see any task as not below us?
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's where you really start to connect with the opportunity to be Christ-like when you are, when you're willing to go low. Makes me think of a lot of times where I have just missed opportunities. And so I'm thankful for this new perspective, this fresh, put it that way, fresh perspective.
And what I'm thinking of is all the opportunities you've accepted.
Yeah.
You're thinking of the ones you missed. I'm thinking of the ones you accepted. And, you know, there's some people don't know about. There's some people do know about. But just last month, loaded up a bunch of guys, went over, cleaned out a house, hauled off a bunch of nasty trash and dirt and junk, and got this house prepped and ready to go for the elderly gentleman to then be able to do what he needed to do with it, stuff that he could never do himself and stuff that he couldn't afford to pay people to do and stuff that nobody wanted to do for him. But there you were with a bunch of guys out there going low.
I was so encouraged to see. We had, I believe it was 48 guys that came out. And just like a bunch of ants on an anthill, just had this place cleaned up in, I mean, it was less than 45 minutes. And I mean, it was bad. It was, I don't know how many yard dumpster this was. It was a big one.
Sure.
And that sucker was packed full and stuff pushed down and packed again, pushed down, packed again. And the guy was standing out there in his yard with his cane and just, his mind was blown. And it was such a blessing to be a part of that.
And what's interesting psychologically, when, you know, when we get something fun, when we get something we enjoy, when we get a gift, our brain produces a jolt of dopamine that's, you know, happy, happy. Hey, this feels good. Mm-hmm. I just got a gift. But the crazy thing is the gift giver gets a jolt of dopamine as well.
Oh, heck yeah.
That they feel good giving the gift. And mm-hmm. So while one man got a gift, 45 men got a jolt of dopamine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And you know what? This is an interesting observation. And in all years of being the church, we've had plenty of times where we've seen one person, you know, arguing with another.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human beings. We're all flawed. That's the whole deal with church. We're just a bunch of people in need of a doctor.
Right.
And so I've seen times where we have been not our best selves, but I've never seen that. And I can say this with complete, I have never seen this. I've never seen that kind of behavior happen when we were simply serving.
Right.
When everybody's mind was focused on serving.
Sure.
When everybody was, perspective was, I'm doing for someone else. And so why would we not want to keep ourselves in a mode of service? And so,
get up from the table, go low. Number three.
Lay it aside. Here's the idea. Laying aside his garments, Jesus prepared to do the menial work of a servant, washing the feet of his disciples. How many times have we grumbled when interrupted?
Mm-hmm.
How easily we balk when it comes to putting the interests of others before our own. In our social media-driven culture, we curate our lives carefully, choosing the images that show us at our best. Our highlight reels.
Right.
That's all it is. Our pictures, videos. Yep, they're just simply our highlight reels. But taking off his outer garments was an act of vulnerability with no shred of pride. Jesus showed how to lay aside image and reputation in service of others. So just laying aside any pride, anything, any doubt, any little question that would say, nah, you don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to look good. That's below you. They don't really need your help.
Well, and if you're having that conversation, this is, you know, what we've been doing here on the podcast in terms of trying to help people think differently.
Yep.
Is once you get to that place where you're in the present moment, focusing on what you control, your thoughts, your behaviors, your feelings, you hear your voice, but then you've now opened the door to hear the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And so all those words you just said about not laying it aside, you know, just keep moving, you know, you ain't got time. Who are you arguing with?
Yeah.
Where did that thought come from that you ought to help that guy? Mm-hmm. You know, who are you arguing with? So there's two voices in your head now. There's yours. Ah, I ain't got time for that. Well, who are you arguing with?
Sure.
And that's the, you know, recognize that the great counselor is urging you from, you know, gentle nudgings from the inside, whether it's an actual voice or a thought or an urge or an opportunity that just suddenly presents itself in front of you and you recognize it, that's coming from somewhere. So if you're arguing about not doing something, you got to ask yourself, who you arguing with?
Yeah, true.
And that would be the perfect opportunity to lay it aside, mm-hmm, and follow that urging.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason that he's urging you to do that.
Yeah, that's good. The next lesson is the power of cleansing. So Peter responds, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answers, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." That's John 13:8. So has God ever surprised you with how he chooses to work? Sure, none of the disciples entered the upper room that night expecting Jesus to wash their feet.
Right.
True humility of service requires that selfishness and sin be purified. So cleansing our sin-stained hearts is a non-negotiable aspect of the saving work of Jesus. And so what he is saying is, listen, if you're too prideful to allow me to clean your life up, to cleanse your heart, then you just, you got nothing. It starts with that being humble enough to surrender. It starts with us. If it doesn't start with you, then it's really going to, I don't know that it'll ever go on to anybody else. And so it starts with the power of cleansing. It starts with the power of letting Jesus wash our feet. He did that on the cross. That's exactly what he did for us. And that's the perspective that he's trying to give the disciples. He says, what I'm about to do is I'm about to give you the ultimate act of service. And that is going to the cross to cover your sins.
What was the title of that one?
God was willing to leave heaven. That's the power of cleansing. Yeah.
Power of cleansing.
He was willing to leave heaven, come here, put on skin in order to connect at every level.
And what I'm hearing is receive it.
Right.
He's done all this stuff. You are not the person you were before. You have been made a new creation. The past is gone. Receive the new creation, receive his blessing, receive the forgiveness, receive the service he's providing you. Let him wash you clean so that you may now live as he intended you to live, mm-hmm, fulfill your purpose,
yep,
as opposed to, continuing to wallow in the past, replay the videos of how bad you've been treated, replay the audio tapes of how horrible of a person you think you are.
Yeah.
And I can't receive this because, you know, I'm such a bad person. I did a bad thing, so I can't receive this. Receive the forgiveness, receive the blessing, receive his service. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all, I mean, the core issue is forgiveness.
Like, and too many times, I do something nice. I'm just making it up here, but I do something nice for somebody else, and they're like, "Oh no, I can't. Let me pay you." Mm-hmm. Well, they can't even receive that kindness because they didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it, so they feel they must earn your kindness. So they want to now pay you for what you just did. So they feel, because they can't receive the blessing.
Yeah. Well, grace is a difficult thing for us to wrap our heads around. Where else do you experience grace? In everything that we do, we try to earn it. It's what makes sense. If you're gonna pay me, I'm gonna do something.
Right.
Well, the reality is through grace, Jesus literally paid it all. He paid it. There's the old song, Jesus paid it all. But he paid it all for us. This is what he was saying. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to set you free. And that's what he wants for us. He wants to set us free so that then we can focus on a life free of ourselves, walking in forgiveness, and loving God and loving others.
And so receive it.
I know. It sounds really difficult, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
So number one was be willing to get up from the table, just like Jesus. Be willing to go low, just like Jesus. Be willing to lay it aside, just like Jesus. And let Jesus cleanse us from the inside out. I'm thinking this Sunday of talking on the question, why was the stone rolled away? So why was the stone rolled away? A lot of people think, well, so Jesus could come out. Well, just a few days later, he's walking through walls.
Right.
And so it was to let Mary and her friends in.
Right.
And so everything that Jesus has done is to let us in. He has removed the barriers. They're all removed. We're the ones that put them up.
Right.
And he has let us in so that then we can reflect him. We can then go out into the world and be like him. And so lesson number five, though, is knowing is not the same as doing.
I know.
I know you know.
I know.
I know you know.
I know.
Now you got to show. If you know these things, it says in John 13:17, you are blessed if you do them. So for all of you listening out there, if you know this, that's one thing.
Sure.
But if you will allow it, I say this so often on Sundays, I say, listen, information without application is an abomination. If you take this and do nothing with it, why are you even here? If all we're going to do is just let it come into our head, into our minds, but not let it transfer to our hearts so that it can then transfer to our feet, the two feet. You'll like this. If is an interesting word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Packed with possibility and choice, the word if raises a question. Maybe we will, but then again, maybe we won't. How often do we know the right thing but don't do it? Obedience can be a touchy subject, evoking memories of times we broke the rules, got in trouble, or let someone down. And when we view obeying God through the foggy lens of religious duty or performance-based acceptance, obedience feels hard and heavy. On this last night, Jesus teaches us that our best blessings come when we follow his example with humility and love. There is a blessing for us in obedience, in serving others, even in the most menial of tasks. Now, if, can you turn that if into a yes?
You said, you know, open up, knowing is not the same as doing.
Mm-hmm.
And last week I shared with you, the audience, my skin cancer. And the only reason I am at this point that I am having to undergo this chemical treatment on my face is because for years I knew it was a good idea to wear sunscreen, but I didn't do it. For years, I knew, probably not a good idea to drink, but I did it. For years, I did, you know. So we are living this example all day long, every single day. We know what is good for us, but we don't actually do it. And we will talk about knowing it. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I know. I know.
Yep.
But then we don't go do.
Yeah, we don't stand around and go, oh, I do.
Yeah.
I do. No, you know. Doesn't mean you do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're trying to relate to what, you know, the scripture is saying, you can look for examples in your everyday life where you're doing these things, and then you go back to the Bible and you know, you know what would be good for you. You know what he's asking you to do, and you know that it's all for your benefit, but do you do it unless you're forced to or feel that guilt obligation to? And like you said, we turn freedom into laws, and then we do it begrudgingly.
Yep. Yeah.
As opposed to just if you know, you know, and that's what we were talking about a moment ago when that thought came up to go help that person. Well, you know, that's the best option in front of you right now. You know, you can do it. They can't. You know, you have the resources. They don't have the resources. But then you argue yourself out of it. So you know, but you don't do. And then you may get five steps away, and then the guilt argues you into doing it. So you go back and do it begrudgingly. Like, these guys are going to help this old man out, clean out his damn house. Where are his kids at? Oh, my God. I can't believe. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Yeah, I'm going over there. God, I was planning on going to hunting today. Now I got to go clean out this damn yard. Don't do it.
Right. Yeah.
If you know, do it. But if you're doing it begrudgingly, if you're, you know, this is a chore, this is it, then no. And that's not what he was talking about. He doesn't want hostages.
Sure.
He wants volunteers.
Yep.
Whosoever chooseth.
Yep.
To believe.
Yep.
You can choose not to.
Yep. Yeah. He gave us that power. He gave us that old free will that we all love and hate. Now, finally, lesson number six is live it out.
Live it out.
Live it out. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13:35-34. It is not necessarily an easy thing to do until you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and then it becomes very natural, at least way more natural than it used to be, to love God and love others. And then the more you do that, the more you start to find freedom. Your mind gets clear. You find that you are becoming transformed, not just with your mind, but that's where it started. And so that is what Jesus has offered to us. I love how you are always bringing this in where you say, and it's not because that gives us an opportunity to experience heaven later.
Right.
You can experience it now.
Right.
That's boom.
And that's so hard to get our brain around, is that once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the past is gone. The new has come. Mm-hmm. We are a new creation that has never existed before. We are now under his grace and no longer has dominion over us. We are living in heaven. You know, we're in the parking lot of the resort.
Yeah.
We're at the resort. I mean,
yeah.
I know one day heaven, we're going to be whatever, walking in clouds, but I know there's another destination, but we're there now.
Yeah.
And it is up to us to receive it. And one way to implement all this stuff you just said, I'm going to call it a simple trick. What everybody struggles with when you say love one another, you look at your neighbor and then you start saying, he does not deserve my love. Mm-hmm. How can I love a murderer? How can I love somebody who, you know, drives his truck through my yard? How can I love somebody? Who said love the other person? Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this is about you and Jesus.
Sure.
This ain't about, you know, it's just like parenting. You know, my mom would tell me, when you get up to that school, you better act right. Mind your P's and Q's. Well, when I'm in school and thinking about misbehaving, I ain't worried about the football coach or the principal or the English teacher. I'm answering to my mama when I get home.
Yep.
Because I know if I screw around here and word gets back home, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a challenge of how to implement these six steps Mike's just given you, is when you're looking at somebody else, look right over their shoulder and see standing behind that person, Jesus, looking at you. Because in another place in the Bible, he says, you know, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was without clothes, you didn't. When whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did unto me. So standing in front of you is somebody to love, but you're going to love them because the guy standing behind him looking at you is saying, hey, what did I tell you to do?
Yeah. Because the guy standing behind them, Jesus, loves them.
Right.
Went to the cross for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would we?
Yeah, who are you to say you don't deserve it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well.
Thank you, Jesus.
Powerful show today, Mike. Mm. Thank you so much for bringing it in.
Thanks for being here.
Woo, Mike. On fire. And if you're out there and you're in Wichita and you got free time Sunday morning, show up at Grace Point for some awesome Easter services.
7 a.m. sunrise, 9 o'clock and 10:30 in the auditorium. It's going to be really good. Big celebration.
Awesome. Well, we are just these guys, and we will catch you guys next week.
Have an awesome week.
See you.
That was good timing. Boom, boom.